Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring my partner Ray Woodson and interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cow Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout, also in Cow Hollow. Now let's talk Warriors basketball. Well, Ray, we know the Warriors aren't going to go 82-0 after this one, but we knew that last year after the opener. The biggest difference is that last year, they really got their butts kicked by the Spurs tonight. I mean, it looked like they were going to win the game here, and they just didn't do it. It came right down to the wire.
Well, a couple of things. Draymond Green was hurt, strained his knee going up for a shot where he was fouled, took his free throws, and then walked to the locker room. We didn't see him again. And so we're waiting for further prognosis of that, but that they don't know much more right now. The other thing is something Steve Kerr mentioned post-game is he didn't feel like they were conditioned enough to close it out. And they had three key turnovers down the stretch. Kevin Durant had eight for the game. And Houston, you know, they've got the firepower to where they fall behind. They can get right back in it. And they kept on doing it. The Warriors kept on trying to pull away. Houston kept contact. Then Green gets hurt, and that's the defensive backbone of the team gone. And Andre Iguodala was already out. So those two guys kind of make a difference. They still should have won the game, but they kicked it at the end.
Well, that is an example, though, of how the Warriors could be vulnerable. You know, if Green, he pretty much is, you know, their most important player when you look at the way he plays on both ends. If he's out and Iguodala isn't there, what happens defensively when you play a team like the Rockets, who definitely upgraded, there's no doubt about it, and, you know, there's the result. You lose the opener.
Well, that's the one thing you talk about the Warriors. What could trip them up? Injuries. You know, and here you have one right out of the gate. Well, you know, Boston's not crying for them because Gordon Hayward broke his ankle in a gruesome way in the opener. I think it was in the first quarter tonight.
So 5 minutes in, yeah.
Unbelievable. So, you know, hopefully it's nothing that serious for Draymond, but it's cast a little bit of a pall over the evening. But, you know, it's interesting how you keep your focus in these games because you're getting your rings again. They're unveiling the banner. It's a big night. The commissioner is here making a speech and so forth. Didn't seem to bother them right away. They got out of the gate 22-9. But again, it was sustaining that energy in the fourth quarter, and you're already a little shorthanded. You know, you start the game without Iguodala, and Steve Kerr said it messed up the rotation, that guys were getting an early foul trouble. It was Steph Curry. I think he got his second very shortly in the first quarter, got his fourth early in the third quarter. So that influenced it, and, you know, it was interesting Kevin Durant didn't come in until the final, what, 2.5 minutes of the game, and he started off very cold, got it going a little bit. Curry had a bit of an off night. So there's a lot of things had to happen here for Houston to pull out this victory. You give them credit, though. They did it. And I'll tell you one thing I like about Houston. You talk about them upgrading. I've mentioned this before on the radio. P.J. Tucker was a good get for them. That's a guy who brings them defensive energy, toughness, grit. You know, diving for the loose ball. That's something they really haven't had. And you add Luke Mbamute as well, who gives you a pretty good defense. And look at the contributions they got off the bench. Three guys, Gordon, Tucker, and Mbamute, combined for 58 points, almost half of their 122 in this game. Now, the Warriors got a great night from Nick Young. He had 23 to lead them, but it's not a knock on Swaggy P, but you don't want him leading you in scoring, right? You know, so that's not going to happen too often, but encouraging. You know, the problem was there were some blown defensive assignments. You could see a couple of times Steve Kerr was not happy with that. These are things that can be tightened up, you know, provided you're healthy. That's the main thing, is to be healthy, and Iguodala's got the strained back. We'll see what happens with that. But, you know, little concerns to start the year.
We'll continue the conversation at Oracle Arena in Oakland, but first I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, getting to Nick Young, I mean, I guess I learned a lot about him just watching him tonight, that he's not afraid to heave the threes. And, you know, we know that he's a three-point shooter. I mean, we already knew that, but I thought it was good to see him get involved and just show that, you know what, I'm not going to change my style because I'm with a new team. And he just showed that confidence because, you know, you just wonder. I think when Kevin Durant first joined the Warriors, you don't want to mess up a good thing. But he was playing his game, and I kind of like that. What'd you think?
Well, I think offensively, yeah. I mean, he was the Nick Young we've been used to seeing, and he's not stage. He doesn't have any stage fright, right? With the first game with the Warriors, he's firing away as he is wont to do, and I think they've told him, be yourself, you know. But it's just at the defensive end and offensively, knowing where to be on the court. I give you one other interesting guy tonight was Jordan Bell. He was rotated in very early in this game, and he had his ups and downs. There were a couple of times he was going up against Harden. He got schooled. A couple of times where he wasn't where he should have been. There were a couple of silly fouls. Another time, though, he D'd up on Harden pretty well, and Harden missed a shot. Bell can certainly finish at the rim. I think he's a better finisher maybe than Draymond at the rim. And, you know, he's still got to learn how to pass. I think he has that ability. And the other part is just knowing where to be on the floor. But he didn't look overwhelmed. And I think Steve Kerr, you know, coaches tell you what they think of their players by how they use them. And he's jumped ahead of Looney and Damian Jones in the rotation. Now, they had to play Looney some significant minutes tonight because of Draymond's injury. But, you know, this is the crossroads for Looney. I think Jordan Bell is a guy they think can jump right in and play significant minutes this year.
Speaking of Jordan Bell, here's the conversation that Ray had recently with the Warriors rookie.
So you start off with the Warriors and go straight to China.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was actually very interesting being able to see a coach like that. Honestly, didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I did. From the jump when I got there, it was really fun. And then when you go to an organization like the Warriors, they really take care of you. So everything was great. Got to talk to, well, try to talk to some people there, interact with as many fans as I could.
You guys are huge celebrities over there. This is a country of more than a billion people. It's a whole different world where you're just as big.
Yeah, it was crazy. I didn't like seeing how many basketball fans are all over there. Like, there's people like camping out in front of our hotel like all day. Like, I remember when we first got there at night, there was a guy wearing like a Warriors shirt, and for some reason, like, I just remembered him. Next day, he was still there, and I was like, wow, these people like really love basketball out there.
Is that the first time you had to deal with that kind of jet lag?
Yeah. I went to Spain last year. Mm-hmm. But actually going to China this year, like I adapted to it real quick. I stepped on the plane, we got there, it was night. It's easy for me to sleep, so I went back to sleep again. So it was pretty easy for me to adjust. It's coming back now, I'm trying to adjust, and that's the tough part.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? You're flying over the international dateline, and it's night, then it's day, then it's night.
It's weird, like we left at night coming here, and we got back at night, and it was just, and I slept the whole plane ride, so that probably wasn't a good idea.
Well, my experience, it takes about a week to get your sleep pattern back.
That's
so
what it seems like. Slowly it's getting back, but it's still terrible right now.
Just in time for the season opener, though.
I know, right? Yeah. Perfect timing.
So what are your expectations? I know they've got plans for you, but do you feel like, you know, maybe you start off in a certain role and maybe expands during the year? Or what are your goals?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously with all the good people we have here, NBA All-Stars, Best Player of the Years, MVPs, obviously I'm coming into a team that's already deep. So I didn't come in expecting to be a starter or get starter minutes. Obviously, I know something I have to earn slowly. And then coming into a new a style of play, new offense, like it's going to take time for me to adapt, learn the plays, learn the calls, stuff like that. So nothing's being given to me right now. Everything, all the minutes that I'm getting, I'm earning. And hopefully I can keep earning more and more as the season goes on.
I know Draymond's been a mentor to you, and I imagine they see some of your skills that Draymond had as well.
Yeah.
So was that kind of a natural fit that Draymond said, yeah, this is my guy?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a good fit. He was the first person to call me as soon as I got drafted. Definitely took me under his wing, been looking out for me a lot. Also, he's also been the toughest guy on me, though, being on the team. Anytime I slip up anything, he gets on me. Boxing out, that's one thing he really gets on me about, because he knows about the NCAA tournament thing. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I let that slip, like, he reminds me, like, that box out right there could have cost your team. And, like, some people might think of it as cruel, but, like, I have a tough shell, so, like, I don't take it I know it's not a personal attack on me. It's him trying to get me better, understanding, like, I'm his teammate, he's trying to win, he wants what's best for me.
Well, I think it's cool the way you handle that, because you took it up front and said, I messed up on that. This is something I'm going to learn from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people were all over me about the Michigan game, the Elite Eight against Kansas, the big game I had. I accepted all that, so I had to accept the bad with the good, so I had to take that in as well.
And you carried them that far without Boucher.
Yeah.
And now here's Boucher down here too, coming back. Give us a little idea about his game.
I mean, Chris is like a unicorn, kind of like a like Porzingis kind of player. Like, he blocks shots, shoot threes, tough driver, very athletic, long, can go in and dunk on you, stretches the floor out a lot. So he's a very unique player. Kind of the same, kind of the opposite as me at the same way. Like, we're both good shot blockers, but I'm more of a physical kind of player. He's more of a stand around the arc, kill you with that, stretch out the offense a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think of Tayshaun Prince a little bit, but a little more range, something like that with the length.
Yeah, better shot blocker, but kind of similar games like that, yeah.
I saw you shooting threes out there. You shot 16 of them in college. Are we going to see a few of those?
I doubt it. I didn't have the shooters like I have over here. I mean, obviously I had some good players at Oregon, but obviously playing with Clay, Steph, Draymond, KD, pretty sure Coach wants them shooting the ball before I shoot. So, I mean, I've never thought of myself as a three-point shooter or anything like that. I just try to find my spots, find what I need to do for the team. But, I mean, as I keep working on it, if I'm open, if Coach is okay with that, I'm going to take some just to make the other team have to guard it. But I'm not going to be out searching for threes. Obviously, I know who I am as a player, so I'm just going to stay in my range. But every now and then, I might step up.
Unless you're tired and you want out, that'd be a good quick way to get out, right?
Just like getting them up. Coach, I need one.
We're chatting with Warriors rookie Jordan Bell here for a few more minutes. The air quality this week, as you know, in the Bay Area is awful. Are you guys feeling it at all in the gym?
Yeah. No, you don't feel it in the gym, but like, as soon as you go out, like, it just hits you. Like, I guess they do a good job of keeping it out, because I think like 2 days ago, like, it wasn't any when I got here to practice. When I left, like I needed a mask just to walk like 10 feet, get into my car, and I was like, yo, what's going on? So like, we haven't been feeling the gym, but obviously, like, at home, my windows are closed, but I can still smell it inside. So I had a whole bunch of candles lit, trying to just keep as much of that out. Try to just stay inside as much as I can.
I know the Warriors are one of the teams that's going to step up and help with the fire victims out there, and there'll be an event Friday night, and I think also the opener on Tuesday for that. I know you're a big football fan, and I know football was your first sport, and then you grew. But but if you'd have stayed in football, where do you think, what position would you have been playing?
Probably like probably like a tight end. Maybe defensive end. And receiver. That's what I played in high school, middle school, pop growing up. But me being so tall, probably like a tight end.
Yeah.
But I think every now and then stretch it out to the receiver, throw me a post route and just go straight and throw it up.
Yeah. Harold Carmichael back in the day. That was 6'8" receiver. So there's precedent.
I had problem like gaining weight. Yeah. Still, this is there. I still had the same problem. So. I don't know what position I'll be.
It worked out for you, though.
Huh?
It worked out for you.
It definitely worked out for me. Better, longer career, less likely of getting injuries. So it was definitely the best career option.
I also heard that you started out as a Raiders fan, but you're a Cowboys fan now. What happened?
I was a Cowboys fan. I don't know about it anymore, but
okay.
I was young. The people around me, whatever team they liked, I liked. Like, my step liked the Raiders, so I was Raiders fans. Then my uncle liked the 49ers. My brother liked the 49ers, so I became a 49ers fan. Mm-hmm. The rest of the family liked Cowboys, so I was like, let me go to the Cowboys. My friends liked Giants, so I was really back and forth. And then, like, I got older, I was like, let me actually, like, pick my own team, like, make my own decision. So I went to the Cowboys.
But it sounds like you may be moving away from the Cowboys now.
Yeah, not because of the actual football team, just because of the ownership, some of the things he said. So I don't agree with it. So probably have to stick to college football, stick with my Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, they're playing Stanford.
I'm going to that on Saturday.
Now, the Raiders are going to be playing right next door to you guys.
Yeah.
For at least a couple more years. Is there a chance you might
slip
over there?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to a Raiders fan. I'm in a game. Just because, like, the rich tradition they have. Like, in LA, you see nothing but Raider fans. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't hate the Raiders. Like, I should, even though I'm a Cowboy fan. But I mean, I like playing, watching football, so anytime I got a chance to watch the NFL, like I never went to an NFL game before, so hopefully this will be one of my first times.
Yeah, you grew up in Long Beach, right? Yeah, Long Beach. Never had a. Of course, there was no NFL team for a long time.
We have an NFL team. Like my NFL team was like growing up like USC. Like that was. I still love USC to this day. Like that was my team. Like growing up watching. So yeah, I never really. I think that's why I never chose like an NFL team growing up too. Yeah.
No, there's a lot of people around L.A. drifting around like that, but it was great because you get all the Sunday games on TV,
yeah,
right?
Definitely, yeah.
This quarterback for Oregon who got hurt, Justin Herbert.
Yeah, man, he was doing good too, man.
That guy had an arm.
I mean, they said he should be back before the season's over, but if we can keep our hopes alive, win a couple more games, and hopefully we can make it to the postseason, he can come back. Hopefully get a bowl ring out of it, some kind of bowl ring.
So you show up for their home and road games when you can?
Yeah, definitely. I love Oregon. I liked Oregon before I went there. I love Oregon football before I went there. So, like, I went to the Nebraska game at Oregon right before a training camp started. So any time I have a chance to go to an Oregon game, I'm always going to be there supporting.
Are you a fantasy football guy?
Nah, I just can't get into it. Like, I don't have that much...
You're better off. You're better off.
Yeah, it's too much like thinking. You have to watch every game, watch players. I'm like, I just can't do it.
Just real quick, I've got a feeling what the answer is, but who is the major influence for you growing up and getting to Oregon?
Who do you think it is?
I know there was a coach or a teacher who was pretty important in high school, right?
Oh, my high school coach. Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely probably the most influential person besides my mother, who helped me like get me on a straight path and helped me understand like this basketball can actually take me places. I can have a career with this. Like, I don't have to work a 9-to-5 job like everybody else. I can make a lot of money just doing something I actually like doing. So he showed me like the path, kept me, make sure I was going to school every day, picking me up from school. So, I mean, picking me up from home, taking me to school every day. So he really is like I said, the main person besides my mother who helped me get here today.
Do you feel like that's something that you can impart to kids around here as you make appearances too?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm always the big person on giving back because, like, growing up, like, me playing basketball, like, we didn't have anybody in Long Beach who, like, was, like, a star who, like, came back. Like, we had a lot of football players like Snoop Dogg, Mercedes Lewis. They all came back a lot. Like, we seen them, but, like, we didn't have anybody for, like, the basketball side of our high school. So I definitely want to be that kind of person. Like, once, like, the day after I got drafted, I went to one of our high school's summer league game, showed up, just showed my face. I understand, like, seeing somebody like that, like, they were in the same spot as me. Like, hopefully I can reach that dream one day. So just me, even if it's just showing your face, giving your time, I know that means a lot to them.
We have a heck of a platform here with this team.
Yeah, so hopefully I can get a trophy. I can show it around Long Beach, you know. Like, I've seen Pat doing that all summer. So I can do a little tour in Long Beach. My high school, like, show kids, like, you can get out of this. Like, there's opportunity.
Well, if it works out, that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. And they don't buy into a draft unless they intend to use a guy and have plans. Yeah. So I'm sure that's something they told you right off.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, they had told me they spent $3.5 million, so hopefully that was telling me enough. And then you could tell, like, just by the way, they're always talking to me on the sideline, asking me if I'm understanding anything. So I'm not just a players on the bench to take, like, be a practice player. They actually see me make an impact on this team this year, so that really motivated for me.
All right, fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah, I know, right?
Good luck this year.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
That's Warriors rookie Jordan Bell.
We'll be back with more from Oracle Arena right after this.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat before a night game or dinner after a day game, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food. food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's Artisan Bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
The thing I liked about Bell being in there is that you get him involved early. It's the first game of the season. He's a rookie, and these veteran teammates were setting him up. I mean, he had a nice setup there by Durant. That was late in the third quarter that I put down as a note. And, you know, the alley-oop from Draymond Green, that was a great pass from Draymond Green to Jordan Bell. Just kind of, you know, it's an example of, hey, you know, you're a rookie, it's your first game, but we're going to let you get involved here. You know, you're going to get your feet wet.
Well, they love him. I think they really, really like his game, and they like how far it's developed in such a short period of time. He's got an idea what to do out there. But again, there are going to be some rookie mistakes. We saw that tonight. This is the time of the year to work all that out, right? I really believe this guy is going to be an important part of the rotation later on this year and take some pressure off of Draymond. And now you get the baptism under fire if it turns out that Draymond is injured for a significant period of time. You know, knock on Formica, hopefully he's not. But that is a possibility. That's why you go out and you buy into the draft and get guys like that. You can never have too much depth. We've seen that tonight, opening night in the NBA.
You know, getting back to Young and his shooting, there was one where he caught a pass below his knees and he gunned it up there and made the three. And that's always, to me, probably the most difficult three to shoot is when you catch a pass that's low like that. It's not really in your rhythm and you make it. And you know, Steve Kerr had said on TNT that Young made one shot in training camp, and now he's a gamer. And I just think, getting back to him and his confidence, that it seems like he can take a variety of threes and make them. And I think that fits right into what this team likes to do.
No, again, he's not shy. That's what they got him, you know, for some firepower off the bench. Because one of the things about the bench is there were not a lot of guys who could make threes on a consistent basis. You know, Ian Clark, yeah, sometimes. But you wouldn't call him the consistent threat that Nick Young is. Omri Caspi, that's another guy that, you know, he's dealing with the ankle problem right now. It looked like he tweaked it again tonight. So that's another thing that kind of chips away at the depth until everybody gets squared away and healthy. But, yeah, they didn't have the you know, who did they have? They had Iguodala coming off the bench, could hit a three, but not consistently. He's not, you know, a guy you'd say is a major threat there. He can certainly drain a few. Sean Livingston doesn't take threes. Then you got the big guys like David West, JaVale McGee, and so forth. There weren't a lot of them, but this is one guy who is a bona fide threat always from three. They'll work out how this rotation is supposed to look, again, provided everybody is healthy. I just want to add, Carl Stewart of the Bay Area News Group postgame was saying that Draymond didn't speak to the media afterwards, and that doesn't happen very often. I don't know if that's a sign of anything or not, but you know, he was walking around. He was just limping. So, you know, I think, like everybody else, he's waiting to find out. They'll have another examination, I'm sure, in the coming days.
Yeah, I mean, the report during the game and after the game was strained knee, so we'll see how that is. You know, I thought Chris Paul didn't seem like he was 100%. His knee's been bugging him. And I do wonder about how the Rockets are going to do this season. Just, you know, working the two guys together, they're both point guards, James Harden and CP3, you know, it worked for one game. They won the game. But in crunch time, Chris Paul was not out there. I wonder if that's the knee, or how is Mike D'Antoni really going to work that rotation?
He looks like a heck of a decoy right now. It's what he looks like. And that's to be worked out. But, again, you've got a ball-dominant player in James Harden. That's when he's at his most effective. Now, he can drive and dish. He did get 10 assists in tonight's game. But I don't know how that's going to work out. I really don't. I'm trying to envision that, and I can't. You know, Mike D'Antoni apparently does, but that'll work its way through the season. But you mentioned it. You know, the knee is barking at him from time to time. And I don't know whether he can be the same guy through a whole season now. As he gets into his 30s now, he's not going to be the same player. He's, you know, on top of everything else, not only being one of the best pure point guards in the league, but a pretty good defender as well. And you lose some of that. He'll have some good moments right in stretches where he'll strip a ball from somebody, things like that. He's tough. There's no doubt about that, but yeah, you just wonder if he's going to make it through the season. That's got to be their big injury concern.
Yeah, I was at the Rockets shoot around this morning, and CP3 was talking about how, you know, it's going to take him a while to get used to being with his team. I mean, being with the Clippers for so long, he even felt like, you know, being in his locker was strange because it's different. It's a different locker. And, you know, I guess maybe we don't look into that as much as we should. Just you think, okay, great player joins a team. There were a lot of changes in the NBA this year. You just kind of expect that everybody's going to mesh together, but it isn't that easy. I mean, we kind of saw it a little bit with the Warriors last year that, you know, it takes a little time to get everybody involved on the right page.
It does. You can throw all the talent together in the world, and we'll see what happens with OKC. You know, it's not a guarantee. The pieces have to fit. That's what I always say about the Warriors. The pieces fit. They find the guys that work in the system, and I think, you know, the guys, the gathering they have here, it's going to work out. You know, as the season goes on, I wouldn't worry about that too much. But there's no guarantee in Houston. There's no guarantee in OKC. But, hey, they're trying. The Warriors got them scrambling, right? That's the fun part of the offseason. It was one of the greatest off seasons in NBA history. You know, Kevin Durant moving last year was pretty good, too. But, yeah, and meanwhile, Cleveland and Boston did the things they did. Unfortunately, Hayward got hurt in the opener. But, hey, you know, this is competition. This is what you like to see. Everybody up in their game. Everybody did. Warriors up their game. So it's going to be pretty high-level basketball this year. I love it.
We'll continue to talk about the Warriors' opening night loss to the Rockets right after this.
At Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
You can still experience the 26th annual October Tire Fest at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, and you get a free tire. That's right, buy 3 Goodyear Eagle Sport AS tires. Get the 4th tire absolutely free. Offer ends October the 31st. Nick Young talked to the media after the game. Here was what he had to say.
Some injuries, you know, that, like, I just didn't know where Draymond was after a while, you know. I didn't know he was back here hurt. But something you gotta get through, you know. I know shouldn't be ain't gonna panic because, you know, they are the champs. It's just the first game, so just go back to the drawing board.
Kevin Durant spoke to the media after the game. Let's listen in.
You gotta give credit to Houston, man. They came out and hit big shots in the fourth. They played well tonight. Tough loss. But first game at 82, we gotta move on. We gotta definitely have to get better.
Let's also listen in to what Steph Curry said after Tuesday night's game.
Obviously, what Nick Young was able to do off the bench was extremely positive for us, and I'm sure that will continue. And you know, Jordan got some great experience, so some good things happened. And it is kind of sombering, just, you know, with all that will happen before the game, to kind of leave with a loss, but we'll be all right.
I want to preface this by saying I'm not just getting on Sean Livingston here, but I did hear a soundbite from him the other day that I found it to be a little disturbing, talking about how it's really hard to get motivated. How is it hard to get motivated when you got a crowd like this? I mean, don't you want to keep winning championships every year? I was a little surprised by that. I didn't know if that was, you know, speaking for a lot of players on the Warriors, but he certainly felt like it was hard to get motivated. Maybe a loss like the opener here, maybe that, you know, kind of helps in that way.
Yeah. A little bit of boot in the rear end, you know. I mean, I think every coach will tell you that once in a while, even the best of teams need that. And here, you know, everybody's showering them with rose petals on the opener, and they're getting the rings and all that. And it looked like they were going to win this game handily, and all of a sudden Houston comes up at the end because the Warriors just mishandled things in the final couple of minutes. It's a good little reminder, hey, you better be on your toes. And I think this will serve as something pretty effective for Steve Kerr and that coaching staff and the players. And you know, they're pretty self-motivated. We know that. But, you know, human beings being human beings, once in a while, you let down your guard. But, again, they didn't have Iguodala tonight. They didn't have Draymond Green at the end. And Draymond Green told ESPN, I'll be good. I'm fine. That's not a medical diagnosis, but I guess it's not he's not too worried about it. Well, you know, hopefully this isn't a long-term thing. But, yeah, I mean, this league is incredible at the top. It's top-heavy, right? I mean, there's a lot of really bad teams in the lower level, but the West is just unbelievable. And then you look at the top two or three teams in the East, they're pretty competitive. So I think it makes it much more compelling. You end up having a pretty interesting game for the opener. The Warriors didn't win going away. Came down to the last shot with Durant, just a tick too late. If it was Klay taking the shot or Steph, it might have gone away in time. They're a little quicker release. Durant was on the money, but he knew it too. He knew it too, and they reviewed it, and that was it, and they lose by a point. So, I think, you know, all in all, a very interesting night. I just hope it isn't damaging long-term, and I don't think it will be.
You know, yeah, if you go back years ago, they wouldn't have had a replay, and the Warriors would have won this game. But it was a good call, as it turned out. I mean, it is one of those things where I guess you have that clock in your head a little bit as you're going through that play. But it's still tough. You're trying to make a shot that's a game winner, and one minute you think the Warriors won, the next minute they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a bit of a confusing moment for the crowd. Everybody thought it went in, and I was thinking right away, oh, they're going to review that. I mean, it looked like maybe he didn't get it off, and that was indeed the case. And, yeah, the replay works in this situation. Replay works in the NBA way more than it does in baseball. Let's put it that way. Always seems to be something screwy about the baseball. I mean, we've gone over that, and probably will again as the postseason goes on. NBA, they've got it together a little bit more. Sometimes they have controversies, but most of the time they get it right. So, pretty good game at the end. Pretty compelling stuff. Rockets played very hard, and as Steve Kerr said, probably better condition than the Warriors were going down the stretch. So that's something they're going to have to work into as they now go on the road. So, you know, all in all, I mean, a successful night. Anytime that you're giving out rings and you're hanging another banner, who would have thought that would have ever happened here, you know, a decade ago, winning 2 out of 3. And, you know, they'll learn from this. They'll take information from this and move forward.
Back to the conversation at Oracle Arena in just a moment. Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website, www.terzosf.com, for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
I thought Curry played, you know, pretty good game there in the second half. He started to make some of those crazy shots that, you know, driving to the basket, and then he started to get it going a little bit from three. Of course, he did miss the three at the very end of the game. That could have just won the game right there. Didn't make that shot. But overall, you know, I don't know that he had a slow start. It was almost like he wasn't really featured as much in the first half.
No, he wasn't. And, again, working their way through things because the rotations got messed up with early foul trouble. And you have an injured player in Iguodala, and you're inserting Nick Young in a little bit more, and you keep him on the floor because he was hot. I mean, he made his first four threes, I think. So there was a whole lot of things they had to learn about each other playing with this new group. And Curry will figure it out just like he did last year. When how much did we talk about, oh, where's Curry? You know, I know they're trying to get Durant involved, but Curry's got to get going. And remember that Christmas Day game they lost to the Cavaliers, and he took 11 shots, and that was it. You know, I said, okay, we got to recalibrate this thing and get Steph more involved. He had a great January. Then, unfortunately, KD got hurt, so Steph took the reins once again. I mean, he is still the leader of this team as far as making that offense go. But here's my question to you. Who's the one player they can't do without?
I think it's Draymond, and him being hurt right now, you know, could be tough. Plus, you go on the road, and every team in this league is going after the Warriors hard. You're going to get the best effort. It really is true when you're the champs. And I think we saw that from the Rockets. Yeah, it's the opener. You should get a best effort. But I think this is going to be the theme of this season, is how hard teams are going to go after the Warriors. They're sick and tired of hearing about the Warriors.
Yeah, they've been there before. You know, that was the case a couple of years ago. And, you know, the Warriors, especially Draymond, doesn't mind saying stuff, you know. Doesn't mind talking about Houston not paying much attention to defense, although that quote was chopped off. He had more to say about it, you know, and mentioning that they did get Tucker and Mbamute to help out in that regard. I think, you know, all things considered, what was available out there, Houston put together the best possible squad they could. Oklahoma City, think about where they were losing Durant a year ago, and it looked like they were going to be in a tailspin. And Sam Presti put together the best possible squad he could and really made a great deal to get Paul George. So they know that other teams are coming after him. And a couple of these teams have a puncher's chance on a given night, like Houston did in the opener, to beat them. I don't think anybody beats them in a series. They're figuring things out, especially if they have the full squad. But I agree, Draymond's the guy. Draymond's the one guy they cannot do without because of what he gives them both ends of the floor. And, you know, he facilitates the offense on top of everything else. And whether it's getting the ball into the corner for an open three after he drives the lane and he dishes, or lob passes to JaVale, Jordan Bell, and so forth, he makes that whole thing go. So, again, hopefully he's not out for too long.
I think a game like this opener makes this season compelling, if for, you know, no other reason than you have a team that everybody thought was going to be better, and they beat the Warriors, so it's going to make our podcast that much better all season. That, you know, we got teams that are coming after the Warriors, and right away, you know, 0-1, so it's not going to be so easy.
Well, we'll talk about the Warriors now with a lottery pick after being 0-1. They're at the bottom of the league. So, you know, this is how much Game 1 means, you know, in the long NBA season. But it's going to be compelling one way or another. It's going to be a hell of a ride. And the storylines galore with this team. And this collection of human beings who are so interesting, as well as what they do on the basketball floor. It's good stuff, you know, and yeah, I think actually it gives a little more texture, a little more flavor. I mean, look what happened a year ago. They got drilled by the Spurs. People are like, oh my goodness, maybe this experiment's not going to work. Well, they figured it out. You know, that's why they play till April, and in the Warriors' case, hopefully till June. It's going to be fun.
We'll see what they figure out in the next week. Looking forward to it for our next podcast next week, Ray.
All right, Joe, definitely looking forward to it. They're going to hit the road. They'll be back a week from Wednesday. Okay, so we'll have a little more information. And again, hopefully health-wise, they make it through this.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Ray Woodson and me, Joe Castellano, again next week on thesportsvirus.com.